Hey guys and gals, welcome to Backyard Steakout Presents. I'm your host, James W.
And this is your co-host, Chef Linda.
Here on Spreaker.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Backyard Steakout Presents. I'm your host, James, and today we, on this episode, we have Mark Cox, who's filling in for Linda. She couldn't make it to be on the podcast today. And also, I guess we're going to just do a little podcast ourselves because we've been stood up with our guest. boy. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, James. How are you, bud?
I'm doing fine. Well, I was doing fine until we ran into this little snag here. But hey,
what happened?
You know, host and co-host is supposed to be able to do the show whether there's people out here or not. You know, so
exactly.
Well, I was going to tell the listeners that you are my co-host on Screaming Reels Fish Talk Radio. And that's how I got a hold of. I was in a bind there with a co-host, and I thought, well, I'll just call Mark. I'll make him get on here and talk, you know. And it didn't take too much arm twisting, but got you on here anyway.
No, not too much.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I looked up a recipe. You said you was looking at some bread and stuff and wondering how long it took and what all you had to do to go through it, but I've got a recipe here just called Basic Homemade Bread. And so I'm going to go through that, and we're going to see what it turns out like. I'm not going to make it, though, but it is something I'm going to think about making here one of these times.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to hear it because I actually looked one up and watched a couple of the YouTubes today to get ready for the podcast, and I watched one that was Grandma Vatarin's white bread, and it looks delicious. But that's why I was really intrigued by the amount of time it took to make it.
Right.
So I'd love to hear the recipe.
And they've got no rice bread also that you can make. I don't know what that consists of. I didn't get into that one very much, but when I seen this one, I thought, well, this looks like something simple, so we're going to go through it and see if it's simple or not. So
exactly.
The ingredients calls for one package or a quarter ounce of active dry yeast. That's the little package you buy individuals, which I think you get three of them for about 88 cents. They're not too expensive. And then 2 1/4 cups of warm water, 110 to 115 degrees. That's pretty much what comes out of your faucet for hot water. And 3 tablespoons of sugar, 1 tablespoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of canola oil, 6 1/4 to 6 3/4 cups of all-purpose flour. And that's all that's in the ingredients. And then the direction says, in a large bowl, dissolve yeast in the warm water. Add the sugar, salt, oil, and 3 cups of flour. Beat until smooth. Stir in enough remaining flour, 1/2 cup at a time, to form a soft dough. Turn onto a floured surface. Knead until smooth and elastic, 8 to 10 minutes. Place in a greased bowl. Turning once to grease the top, cover and let rise in a warm place until doubled, about 1.5 hours. It'll double that size. Punch dough down. I think that lets the air out of it when you punch it down like that. Where I see
yes,
on
it does.
The video. Okay. Turn onto a lightly floured surface. Divide dough in half. Shape each into a loaf. Place in 2 greased 9x5-inch loaf pans. Cover and let rise until double again, 30 to 45 minutes. Bake at 375 for 30 to 35 minutes or until golden brown and bread sounds hollow when tapped. Remove from pans to a wire rack to cool yields 2 loaves, 16 slices each loaf. Now that, you know, that to me sounds like a simple way to make bread. And, you know, you was talking about all this, letting it rise and doing this and doing that and all some of these other breads. I was wondering how good this here would turn out.
I'd be interested to find out myself. But like I was kind of talking with you, I had an uncle that made, you know, the, what he called just ugly biscuits. And it was a quick and easy way. And they turned out delicious, so.
Right.
I just, it got me with the way they were saying on this other recipe, you know, after you mix all your ingredients and sit there and put it in a bowl and let it rise for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then they were saying with the recipe size that you would take it, cut it into three identical portions, put them into the containers, the baking containers, and then you would want to cover those after you've cut them and also cover them with a damp cloth and let them rise for another hour. That's why I was kind of, you know, really intrigued, because I was like, wow, you know, that's 2 hours of somebody's time to do some bread. And I was like, wow, you know, we take that for granted in life sometimes when we have loved ones bake and cook for us. You don't really realize the time that goes into it sometimes.
Right. And then you have to eat it with you. What do you say, 3 days it starts to mold?
I would think without all the, you know, ingredients they put in our breads nowadays that keep it longer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think 3 days would be a safe thing to say before it would start to mildew.
Now, we've had bread, you know, we've had and ate through a whole week and never had any problem with it. But if we get down to where there's only a couple pieces left in the heel and we get a new loaf of bread and we forget about it and it's in the bread bag for, you know, another 3 or 4 days, then it's starting to get a little mold on it.
Yeah.
So regular bread.
But
you know,
we're lucky with all those preservatives they put in our bread.
Man, you,
well, not
you
really.
Imagine,
but
you imagine how long it would take us to rot after we died, you know, from all them preservatives we got in us?
We just don't have that luxury nowadays, you know, to be able to, you know, bake for ourselves and, you know, life's so hectic. I mean, we take small things for granted sometimes.
Right. And, you know, back in the old days, that's the only way they had bread was to make it. Now, I make Indian bread, and that is so simple, and it's got a good taste to it, and it's just...
I've never heard of Indian bread.
Yeah, you just take about 2 cups of flour and put it in a bowl and just add enough water to make it stiff, and then you just throw some flour on it and kind of, you know, to where you can handle it, and then take it out and put it on another floured table or something with some flour and put it on there, and you just... knead that, you know, a few times, and then you flatten it out. I just usually flatten it out with my hands, make a round disc about half inch or 3/4 inches thick, and then I'll cut it in half if there's too much, you know, like make 2 pieces out of it, and then I'll make them round and flatten them out. Throw them in a little bit of olive oil or virgin oil or canola oil on the skillet. We use the cast iron skillets all the time here, and I think they do a better job of cooking in that. And
they do.
So you just,
especially when you're making cornbread.
Oh yeah. Oh man, cornbread. But this Indian bread, you know, it's got a taste, you know, tastes like corn, kind of like a cornmeal, but it's flour. All I use is just regular flour on it.
So it's a thicker bread. It's not
right.
Like a white bread then.
Right. And it is good. I could sit there and eat it plain like that. You can put butter on it. You can put peanut butter on it, jelly, whatever you want to put on it, you know. Now, you got to watch, you know, with your oil not to put a whole lot in the skillet because it'll come out kind of greasy, you know.
Well, yeah.
When I take it out, I put it on a plate, and then after about 30 seconds or so, I flip it upside over, you know, and to where what grease was in the bottom, on the bottom of it will be on top, and that kind of soaks into it. That way it's not dry on top and wet on the bottom. But, yeah, I learned
maybe
that.
Maybe along the lines of the quick bread that I was referring to you earlier, that I was saying that they make, and it reminded me of my uncle's ugly biscuits. It's not the prettiest bread you've ever seen, but it sure is tasty.
Sure is. You're right. Yeah. Well, them biscuits you was talking about, them ugly biscuits, I think the term I've heard for them was ship biscuits that they used to make on the ship back in the old way back in, you know.
Well, you would know. You were in the Navy.
So. I wasn't that far back in there. Yeah. But no, they come out good. And you make your mix up just like you would, you know, with the, like I was explaining, with the Indian bread, and you kind of like the same way, but you don't put flour in it. You just get you a tablespoon and dip you a hunk of it out, and you kind of just take your finger and push it off of the spoon into the skillet or onto the pan, and just stick it in the oven for, I don't know, about 15 minutes, maybe 15, 10 or 15 minutes, 8 to 10, somewhere in there. It's been a while since I made them. But, yeah, they come out looking ugly, but they're good biscuits. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Get you some white gravy going. Throw you fry some bacon up, get you some grease going there, and then take you some flour and throw it in that grease and stir it all up. I usually let it get sort of dark. You know, I heat up that grease and flour until it starts to turn a little bit dark. That way it's not quite pure white when it comes out. And then just, I do it either way. I can either add all the milk to it to make it, or sometimes I'll go half milk and half water, and like a cup of water and a cup of milk, and then I'll start pouring that in there. And depending on how much flour you got in there, how much gravy you're going to make out of it, because as long as while you're stirring it, it just gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and you'll have to add some more milk and water to it until I do that until I get the skillet so full it's just about right up to the top before it actually gets to where I can shut the heat off, and I just, you know, I go scoop in there and scoop it out on them biscuits. Boy.
Oh, yeah. That's how my mom makes it. You're talking gravy now. That's down my alley. I'm not much of a bread maker, but I definitely love some gravy.
Yeah.
You can always thicken it up if it gets a little too thin, and then, you know, too thick, you can always add a little bit of milk. Keep it warm, keep stirring, you know. There's not a bad breakfast gravy out there unless it just runs off, you know what I mean? But I am a big fan of thick gravy. I like it.
I've had gravy to where you could tell that it's been burnt a little bit, but it was still good gravy.
Oh, yeah. Dad used to tell me some stories when he was in the military, you know.
Uh-huh.
Some of that stuff was barely edible, but everything I grew up eating was always really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom used to save all the bacon grease. She had one of them little grease strainers. It's a little bucket that sat on a stove, and it had a lid on it that had a strainer, a metal strainer in it. Every time she made bacon, she would pour the grease in that, and she'd set that on that stove, and I'm thinking, you know, how long do you leave this grease sit out like that, you know? But I don't ever remember her throwing that away because it got bad on her. I don't know if it was because it was bacon grease or... I don't know, and anytime she made gravy, she had the grease. You know, she just poured a little bit in the skillet and make it. She had a cast iron skillet too, and oh man, that's the best way to go, because you know, a regular skillet, you can make it in a regular skillet, but nothing beats just filling that thing about half full of water and heating it up, and then take you a metal spatula and scrape it loose after it gets hot, you know, and it just washes right out.
Oh, yeah. I grew up eating out of cast iron, and I'm not going to lie, me and the wife, that's all we have at the house here. We don't have any of the Teflon pans or anything like that. We only use cast iron.
Well, we've got that.
And
new
I think it just enhances the flavor of the food.
Right.
I mean,
we've got
I haven't grown up any other way.
We've got one of those new wave stoves, and we started out with the skillets that came with it. Got a skillet and a pot, a couple pots with it, and we found out that cast iron worked on it. Them skillets, they'd warp on us, and to where if you put any grease in it to fry a hamburger or something or whatever you put in it, it's going to run to the edge of the pan, and the middle's going to be dry. And so since we've been using this, found out that the cast iron will work on the new wave, I mean, it's great. And you can't beat it for keeping the heat in it. When you get done with you set it off on a trivet, it'll stay hot for a long time.
Well, that's what I love about Sunday mornings most of the time. My wife she'll cook up some bacon in that cast iron skillet, you know, and we'll go ahead and make the whole pound, and then we use the leftover bacon for everything, and she'll make fried eggs straight out of that bacon that's in, or, you know, bacon grease. And I know it's not real healthy for you, but boy, it sure tastes good, you know.
You know what kind of diet I'm on, and
I know. That's why I didn't really want to throw that out there, but
I'm going to tell you something. When we ate bacon, we'd eat 2 pounds of it. We'd each eat a whole pound of bacon a piece, you know. But that's all we'd eat, you know, is bacon and making bacon sandwiches and that. But we've got 2 pounds in the refrigerator. We're going to have it tomorrow, and that we're going to break our weekly, you know, splurging thing there, and we're going to splurge on our bacon.
If you got to suffer for 6 days a week, you got to splurge that one day. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what we do.
We'll gain 2 pounds, and that's usually the way it goes. We'll lose 3-4 pounds a week, and then after that splurging day, we'll gain 2 back, and then we got 6 days to lose it again. So it's coming out pretty good. 2, lose 4. Gain 2, lose 4.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, you gotta admit, you can't be on that diet all the time because you'll go nuts.
You will. You watch other people, you know, on TV, and you're watching cooking shows or something like that, and that doesn't help a lot of the time. But
right,
you know, like my wife says, we work hard during the week. We try to watch what we eat, and you know, she's off on a lot of Sundays, and she said, hey, we're having, you know, breakfast at home. I'm like, hey, let's go to IHOP. Nah, we don't eat there, you know. We're going to have it here. And I'm like, okay. That just means I'm going to get spoiled, and I'm going to get something good, you know.
Right. I know a couple of times I've called you, and you said, well, I'm on my way to the store to get some eggs. We want to have a big breakfast, you know, eggs and bacon and stuff. I thought, oh, man, you're going to tell me that? Usually we do our splurges on like a Friday or Saturday. And my mother-in-law, sometimes she'll make a banana pudding or blueberry cobbler or something to go with it, you know. I mean, we load it down. I mean, two big old plate full of whatever it is she cooks. Now I wanna try the recipe she does with chicken and dumplings. Because, you know, that's really got me. I've never made them. I've ate them so many times over there at her house. But, you know, now that's something that takes a while for it to cook. And cooks her chicken.
My wife can make it. My mom makes it. And, yeah, that's one of my favorites, too, chicken and dumplings.
Oof. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's good eats right there. I mean, especially when it's fresh, you know, and it's within an hour of it being cooked. I mean, you can't beat it.
No. Anything with dough, you know, is really simple. You know, things are simple to make. But you got to remember, don't grab that dough out of the bowl until you got flour on your hands. Sprinkle flour on top of that dough. Sprinkle it all over your hands. Reach over there and flip it upside down. And flour the other side, because The flour's not going to hurt it because that's what you're making it out of anyway, right?
Well, yeah, and it'll help thicken up the gravy a little bit, you know, or what I call gravy, you know.
Oh yeah, and she'll roll
many
that
terms
stuff out
for gravy, but
yeah, she'll roll that out. She'll put it on a table on a bunch of flour. Well, she had got one of those mats that you put on a table to roll up plastic mat. And she'll flour that thing down, throw it on there, and she'll start rolling that out with a rolling pin. When she gets it to where she wants it, she'll take a pizza cutter and start going one way and all the way across, and then she'll go the other way all the way across and make the dumplings.
Oh, yeah. My wife, I'm not going to lie, she cheats every once in a while when she doesn't have a lot of time on her hands, but she wants it, and she'll just use the biscuits, you know, the refrigerated small biscuits you have, or even the larger.
Oh, yeah.
And she cuts them down, and she'll use those, you know, for the dumplings. And
I'm not going to lie, they
turn out pretty good, you know, with a homemade broth and, you know, the chicken. Yeah.
Put some chicken bouillon cubes in there with it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I just ate not too long ago, and I'm getting hungry again.
I'm already thinking about breakfast tomorrow. We may have to do a good breakfast tomorrow after doing the show.
Go to bed early so to get here quicker, huh?
Exactly. Kind of like Christmas, you know.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to see what's going to cooking up there. But now, when we're talking back when we was talking about the making the gravy, and you said, you know, you could, if it gets too thick, you can add more milk or water or whatever. But one thing you can't do, and I found this out the hard way, you can't, if it's too thin, you can't add flour. It will knot up, and you'll have big chunks of flour in there, and it's just hard. I even tried using a colander one time to strain out the lumps in it.
I didn't think about that, and I guess that's the fishing side of me coming back to the beginning of the show. That, you know, my wife works at Bass Pro Shops, and we do keep, and we buy the Uncle Buck's cream gravy mix sometimes. And when I make it, you only use a certain amount of water, and if it's too thick, you just add a little bit more water. If you get it too thin, you can add just a little bit more of that gravy mix to it and stir it in, and it works out. If it's just flour, it might not work out that great.
I've always had trouble making the brown gravy that way because I just never could get it the consistency right now, but always straining the brown gravy. You know, you cook a turkey or chicken or whatever, and use the grease from that. It's just, you know, it takes a little practice, you know. I mean, if you ruin it, it ain't no big deal because all it cost you was, what, a cup of flour maybe, or half a cup of flour, and you're just going to have to eat it without the gravy.
If the gravy's a little thin, you can still deal with it as long as it tastes good, you know.
Right. If the gravy comes out thin, just make thicker mashed potatoes.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful world when you can cook your own food.
Yeah, like I said, there's so many preservatives and so many calories and so much sugar in what we eat nowadays. It really is nice to sit down and have a home-cooked meal with all fresh ingredients, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we're so busy nowadays, it's really hard to do sometimes. That's why people need to really kind of appreciate more when you sit down to a meal like that, you know, and look at the time that was put into that meal to prepare it and, you know, the bread that you're sitting there eating if it was homemade, you know, the time it took to make that. It's the small things we overlook in life sometimes nowadays that, you know,
make you appreciate your parents and grandparents, you know, because they put a lot of work into that we didn't realize because we was kids. Now that we're grown up, we miss it. And then when we cook it, man, just can't wait to get in that kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what got me in the kitchen was my mother, you know.
Right.
You're not going to just run around with your friends and all that, you're going to help out in the kitchen a little bit. And it helps you in life. It does. People need to start doing that more with their kids.
Right. Well, we've run a 30 minutes here. I'm going to cut this thing loose, get to work on it, and put it out there for our listeners.
Awesome. I hope they enjoyed it, and thanks for having me, James.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on here, because I couldn't have done it without you. I'm glad you did, because I've been talking to myself.
We don't want to do what they say. We can talk to ourselves as long as we don't answer ourselves, and we'll be all right, you know.
You can answer yourself, too, now, as long as you don't say, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You can't stutter step yourself, you know.
Right.